I hear the rolling thunder.
I bow. Thank you, Brother Terry.
Interested in your prayers to stand before you. It's good to be here. Good to see you all. Why are we a lot of people today? It's good to see all of you that are here. We had a sweet song service and we sweet prayer by Brother Charles, and we trust that your time here will be continually blessed as we look at God's Word. And so pray for me. Pray for one another, that the Lord of glory would have his own way with us for a season. Surprisingly, usually I don't have anything on my mind. Today I have so many things that I don't know where to go, so we trust that the Lord will lead us.
Amen.
You know, I feel led to go to the Ephesian letter this morning. But before I do, I wanted to read one verse from the Philippian letter, chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you is safe." And that's the way God has designed his word. If we are blessed to glean anything from it, is that we do see in it a repetition or repeating of a particular theme, all of which leads to the Lord Jesus Christ. But also for us as his children, reminders as to who we are and how we ought to be as we journey in this tiny world. Ephesians 2, many that you have heard before, and if you live life longer, you probably will hear it again. But I just feel led to go there this morning because we, me, and all of us, from time to time, sort of need to be reminded and to be grounded with an understanding as to where we are and how we got there. Ephesians 2 begins with, "And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin." You know, as God's little children journeying this tiny world, I would contend that God has a children who have been quickened, but don't really understand that they've been quickened. They've been given life, but don't understand that they have life.
Correct.
And sometimes they're moved to do things in life that they typically wouldn't do, and yet have no understanding why they're doing it. But if we're to understand that we're born into sin, and every Lord's heir promise, sometime between conception and the grave. Everyone that Jesus died for will be quickened.
Amen.
And made alive. And when that happens, the individual may not see the difference, but typically God's children around them will see that difference. The world will not understand it. The world will not like that you're acting differently. The world would think that somehow you have lost your mind.
Yeah.
And they just can't understand why you're doing what you're doing. I think one of the true evidences that we have is that when a little lamb is quickened, that they have an interest in the things of God.
Amen.
You know, God tells us in his word that there's none righteous, there's none that understand, there's none that seeketh. But when you see one who is seeking, but yet has no understanding, typically he has been quickened by the Spirit of Almighty God. If we want to look at a biblical example, I think Nicodemus. Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night.
Yep.
Understand that he must have been sent by God, because nobody else can do these things. And Jesus told him, you must be born again. I think Jesus was telling the brother, you have been born again, that's why you're here. So, if you have a yearning in you for the things of God, and you don't understand why you have that yearning, it's because you've been quickened by the Spirit of Almighty God. And we who have been quickened and thinking that, well, we have always had an interest in the things of God, may not understand that you too, or we too, only have that interest and desire because we also were quickened by the Spirit of God. It says, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now the right God is speaking now to those who have quickened. Now he's telling you how you used to be. Sometimes we forget how we used to be. Sometimes we think that, well, for some reason we've never been that way. Well, Scripture tells us that we were. That we walked according to the desires of this flesh of ours. That whatever we desired, we partaked of, and good, bad, or indifferent. Or, well, maybe it might not have been worse as bad as somebody else, but yet we did it anyway. And so when we think about those times of disobedience, we also must also acknowledge that though we have been quickened by the Spirit, that we abide in the same old clay tabernacle. We still have the same old sinful flesh here that we have to contend with. And if we don't remember or don't realize or don't take heed to what has been done for us, then we can easily find ourselves drifting back into those old behaviors, those old habits, walking and acting like we're still in darkness, still walking in accordance with the desires of the flesh and not in the Spirit. Well, Scripture tells us that we got to labor. There's a labor that we got to do to fight that stuff. We're not going to whip it. We're not going to do away with it. It's going to be here with us until we leave this world. But we have to be able to contend with it and realize what it is. And realize also that we serve a Savior who's able to lift us up above ourselves and bless us to enter into the rest that he promises us, that he will give to us, and that peace that passeth understanding. When he declared that my peace I give unto you, not as the world give I give, but he gives a peace that is beyond our natural understanding, a rest at his seat that is beyond our natural understanding, our Savior gives. When the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he definitely meant that. Because our Lord provides for us everything that we need as we journey in this time world. Sometimes we get confused with what we want and what we need.
Yeah.
I guess all the time we get confused that way. But just remember that our Savior has promised us that all that we need as we journey in this tiny world, he will provide unto us. Sometimes we take credit for what he provides.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think it's all about us, that we are able to do this or do that, or a journey here, a journey there. But brethren, as Brother Charles prayed in his prayer, if it's a good thing, it cometh from the Father of light. It doesn't come from you, me. Doesn't come from how brilliant or how clever we think we might be. If it's a good thing, it comes from above. And brethren, that we're blessed to acknowledge these things, to acknowledge him in all of our ways. And that means to acknowledge him and praise him, brethren, when we have, are blessed to enjoy those good things as we journey in this time world. And he goes here on verse 3, he says, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Sometimes I think we lose sight of what those desires and the strong pull that it might have on us as we journey in this time world. Sometimes that pull is so strong that a little child of grace will find himself desiring and going over into that broad way. Oh, brethren, those are the times that we cry out. Cry out to him who is able to deliver us from ourselves. You see, brethren, as we journey in this time, we're more often that we need deliverance from anything. If Brother John needs deliverance from anybody, it's Brother John. It's not you, me, or anybody else, but it's me. And we all have that struggle. We all have that battle. The thing is to recognize that struggle, recognize that battle, and realize whom it is who can deliver you from it. This is like a wrestling match, brethren. You cannot win the battle by yourselves. Even though, naturally speaking, we think we could. It is an impossibility. But the sweet news for God's little lambs is you don't have to fight that fight. All you need to do is call upon him who's able to fight that fight for you. What's the difference? The difference is acknowledging that without our Savior, we can do nothing.
Amen.
He tells us that in the Gospels. He says, without me, you can do nothing. Now, no matter how often we try to make him out of a lion. What does Brother John mean by we try to make him out of a liar? Because we try to do things without him, when he's already taught you that you can't. But yet this old nature of ours will struggle to try to do what the Lord has already told us that we can't do. But the good news is he tells us something else. He says, with me, through me, you can do all things.
Amen.
You see the difference there? Now, when he says, in and through me, he's not talking about every little evil device that comes into your brain. For in this flesh of yours, he's talking about communing and walking with him as we journey in this dying world. You know, the apostle, one of the apostles asked Jesus, he says, how is it that thou shalt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How is that? Because when a little lamb walks with the Lord, when Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And Jesus is not telling us to do what he did. We cannot keep the law to a jot and tittle. But what he is telling us to do as we journey and live in this world, that we do all things as unto the Lord. And when we do all things as unto the Lord, brethren, and we seek to do those things that are pleasing his sight, then he tells us that he and the Father will come into you and he will sup with you. Amen. And in that supping, brethren, we're blessed to realize and to feel that peace that passeth all natural understanding. Because we find ourselves at rest at the feet of our precious Savior. We're not looking at the storm anymore, though it's there. We're not looking at the troubles of life, though they're there. They will always be there. The thing for us as God's children is that even though they're there, we're going to labor to enter into that rest. By laboring, we're going to acknowledge those things for what they are and seek him to deliver us from those things. We can be doubtful from time to time, and that's okay. As long as you realize that when we end that doubt, that we have one who can bring us out of that doubt. Just like he told the little father who came with him in tears and asked him to heal his child. And Jesus says that if thou would believe, and the father with tears in his eyes cried out unto the Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Amen. Do you realize, brethren, that when you're in doubt, there is one who can relieve you and deliver you from that doubt? Even that battle, brethren, he fights for you. And you will have it. You will have those battles. When the psalmist declared that when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, brethren. Your heart will be overwhelmed, is what he's telling you. But when it happens, he's also telling you, brethren, where it is your heart needs to be. It needs to be centered on the rock. Who is that rock? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is that rock that is higher than I, higher than we. He is that rock who has loved you with an everlasting love. A love that is so great that he came from heaven's pure world to die for you. To give his life as a ransom. To become the propitiation for our sins. And for the sin debt of all of those that God gave to him. In a covenant of grace before time was. Yes, God didn't just decide to love you after you were born. He purposed to love you before he created this world. He didn't look at you and thought that maybe one day you would be good. But he looked at you and says, I love you. You are mine. I had claimed you to be mine. And you will be delivered one day by the blood of my son. And in that deliverance, You will forever be in my presence. When you give up the ghost here, that spirit will come home to be with me. And you will forever praise the Lord our God. You think about that sweet hope. And you think about when the writer hears about the conversations that we had in times past. Let us strive that when we are blessed to remember what he has done, that we also labor, that our conversations in times past will not repeat themselves, but that our conversation will, as long as we have being, will be as unto the Lord. That we will no longer long to lust for the things of the flesh. Even though this old sinful flesh of ours would desire it from time to time. That if we acknowledge him, that he will reveal those things. As the psalmist would say, search my heart. Sometimes that's what we need to do. We just need to cry out to the Lord to search our hearts. And just to reveal unto us what's really going on. You know, brethren, because we are at war. You know, we think, you know, it's easy for us to turn on to CNN or TV and look at people shooting and killing each other and fighting each other and being mean and angry to each other. That's easy to see and to visualize. What's not easy to see oftentimes is that spiritual war that exists for God's children as we journey in this dying world. And brethren, if we go around with blinders on, we'll be whipped up and beat up and have all kinds of unnecessary struggles because we failed to realize what was truly going on. Scripture tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, how many of us think that we can take on that spiritual wickedness all by ourselves? That we're battle ready. We can handle it. Let it come our way. We can handle it. Well, I'm here to tell you that you've been deceived. You can't handle it. It was never intended for you to handle it. It's intended for you to recognize it and look to him who can handle it on your behalf. You see, brethren, life eternal begins. It doesn't just begin when you take that last breath and go home to glory. You've been delivered. And part of that deliverance, you're able to enjoy in a timely sense as you journey in this land below. Now, the adversary will seek to deny you of those freedoms, those liberties. He would seek to have you be beguiled into thinking that, well, that might happen by and by when you leave this world, but you're not going to have any rest or you're not going to have any peace while you're here. Well, God's word for the adversary is that he was a liar from the beginning. He always will be. But don't be fooled into thinking that you're smarter than he is. Because he's clever. And just when you begin to think that you got a handle on it, he's got you right where he wants you. He's got you right where he wants you. because you're deceived into thinking that you can handle all of these things yourself. And that spiritual wickedness in high places is not really in high places. So I can deal with it. Well, no, you can't. If you could deal with it, God wouldn't have told you that you couldn't. Now, who do we believe? Do we believe the adversary? Or do we believe God? That's what it comes down to. Or the Eve was beguiled. Our brethren at Galatia were beguiled. God shouldn't have been beguiled as long as they existed. We're no different. But Scripture tells us that ye are to put on the whole armor of God, to be equipped. Part of coming to this meeting house and gathering together is to be equipped.
Amen.
To be equipped with the Word of God.
Correct.
And to understand what it means to your life as you're out in the world. So that when the adversary comes, you're blessed with the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to tell you that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says thus and thus. That's how Eve was beguiled. That's how many of us are beguiled from time to time. And he goes on here and he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. When we think of the great love and the great mercy of Almighty God, when we understand that spiritually we were dead, and I can't define spiritual deadness except to use a literal example, is if you go to a graveyard and they are naturally dead, call out their names and see if they answer. When you're spiritually dead, brethren, you have no desire for the things of God. You have no understanding. You cannot see those things of God. And to realize and to realize that it is by the love and it is by the mercy of the Lord our God that you are brought out of that state of darkness and that you're quickened and that you're made alive. You cannot raise yourself from the dead, which is when many of God's little children have been beguiled into thinking that somehow they had some act in bringing themselves from death to life. Just like you can't do it naturally, you can't do it spiritually either. But you see, he says, by the rich mercy of God, have we been brought out of that state of darkness? Been brought out of that state of being dead in our trespasses and sins?
Sure.
And given life.
Yeah.
And given it abundantly. And that abundant life, brethren, is to be able to feast upon and to enjoy the things of Almighty God. It is not about seeing how much wealth you can acquire naturally as you journey here. That is not that abundant life. Sadly, many of God's children, probably all of us from time to time, begin to equate those things with an abundant life. The abundant life here is a spiritual thing. It's about, brethren, being God's little children and being able to journey through this life, realizing that there are storms all around them, but realizing also that they've been blessed to enter into a rest to carry them through those storms. A very good example that I always love when I read it is to remember that he who has given you life also has power over the storms that are in your life. Just like he naturally that day when he told his disciples, says, let us go to the other side. Well, in the midst of that journey, Jesus being asleep in the boat, there came a great storm. The winds were boisterous. The disciples began to panic. They awakened their Savior and said, Lord, doth thou not care that we perish? But when we think about that, just for a moment, think about the times that you cried out the same words. When the trials were so great that we said, don't you care? Or why me? Why do I have to endure this, Lord? It's okay if somebody else does. I can pray for them. But why me? Well, Jesus looked at his disciples and says, ye of little faith. He rebuked the winds. He said, peace be still. And the winds ceased. And when that happened, the disciples became exceedingly fearful. You see, they saw Jesus heal the blind, heal the sick. But to stop the winds, that was a whole new thing for them. But when we're blessed to understand that there is no storm, there is no wind in your life, my life, our lives, that the master of the storms cannot cease and lift us up and gives us that peace in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial, and becomes that rock that is there when our heart is overwhelmed by the things and circumstances of life. That rock doesn't move. That rock is steadfast. That rock is your rock. That rock is my rock. That rock is the rock of all of those that God gave to him in a covenant of grace before time was. And oh, how precious that is to a little child of grace to understand that though we encounter these storms, that we know the master of the storm. And that through every trial and difficulty of life, he does deliver us through them. And through that experience, brethren, our faith is strengthened. Through that experience, brethren, the trials come along. And we began to be molded like a little diamond. And then light begins to shine more and more. But from time to time, brethren, we get overwhelmed by the circumstances of life and we find that the trial that comes tomorrow seems a little different than the one we had yesterday. And we, like the disciples, become exceedingly fearful because it looks different. Well, just remember that even though it might look different, it's not any different to the Lord. But the same Lord that delivered you today will be the same one who delivers you tomorrow, regardless of what that trial might be. And have raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Brethren, this is one of those heavenly places. When the Lord of glory simply lifts you up beyond your circumstance and blesses you to see him high and uplifted upon his throne. Glorious does he, gloriously does he manifest himself in our presence. We can't see him with the naked eye. But oh, how we're blessed to feel his presence. When our cares and trials of this world just seem to melt away. And we rejoice in the love of a precious Savior who came to this world and died for us. Who became sin for us. Who had no sin of his own. Who received the punishment that we were justly due. So that we would have life. That we would have it eternally. That we would have it abundantly. As the heirs of promise of the kingdom of God. One sweet day, all of these trials will be over. But until then, press on. Let our eyes be kept upward from whence cometh our help. Because our help coming from God. Amen. Blessed be his name.
Amen. You've been good to us, Daniel.
Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord.